Blog Talk Radio.
Redeemed by the
deep and silent as night, nor wanting, nor wasting, thou rulest in might. Thy justice like mountains, thy soaring above, thy pathways are fountains of goodness and love.
Good evening, my beloved brothers and sisters in Advent Light. This is Sister Powell, who will be your host tonight. I just want to give God thanks that we can join in this form. And I'm asking my beloved that we press one that we can share. First, let us go into a word of prayer. I'm asking you to bow if you can or kneel. And just whisper a word of prayer to the Lord. God wants us to come to him tonight. So let us pray. Father, we just want to thank you this moment for the privilege that we can come before your throne. We want to thank you for our brothers and our sisters who join here this evening. Allow us, dear Lord, that we will give you the praise that's due to you, because all praises go to you. We thank you for your love that you have extended upon us. We thank you for the privilege of prayer. So we ask you to bless us, Father, and let each one of us that we can share by reading a scripture, singing a song of praise, and sharing the blessings, Lord, that you have restored upon each heart. Bless us today. We thank you for a blessed Sabbath, that day that passed. And also for this day that passed so far. And Lord, we are here giving you the praise. So help us, Lord, that we will be faithful to you as we have been studying your word, Lord, in the step to Christ, rejoicing in the Lord. And if we are rejoicing in the Lord, we have to share the word from the Lord and what the Lord has said to us. So we must have to have something that the Lord has done for us, so that we can rejoice in him. And by rejoicing in him, we are going to share the word. So we are asking each one here on this line tonight, dear Father, to allow our sons and daughters that they will share. Thank you for hearing, and thank you for answering our. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Yes, my dear brothers and sisters on the line, welcome to Advent Light prayer line tonight, and we know that we are all going to be fellowshipping with one another. And it said here, where two or three gather together doing the things concerning the will of God, he is in the midst. And we also have a quote here that I'm going to read, and I'm asking my brothers and sisters to press one. And this quote is stating a last day event. As we are in the last days, Lord, we do not know, you know, the things that is going to creep upon us. But God said, you know, we must rejoice in his name. Rejoice by sharing with others. Rejoice by studying your word. Rejoice by when we study and feed upon his word, we will be able to share with others. So it is saying, under the guard of Christianity, we are approaching the end of this earth history, and Satan is working as never before He is striving to act as director of the Christian world with an intensity that is marvelous. He is working with lying wonders. We know that Satan is up and down walking, and he is there trying to devour who he can. We know that, as this quote is telling us, he said he's represented as walking about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We know that, but we have a loving Father who we have to trust that he will be able to tell us, despite of persecution and whatsoever is happening to us, Satan have no way with his children, because God said he is in the midst of persecution. So he said he desired to embrace the whole world in his confederacy, hiding his deformity under the guard of Christianity. He assumes the attributes of a Christian and claimed to be Christ himself. We know he wants to do that, but we know that Christ is the Christ. Christ is God, and Satan cannot, you know. So we have to hold on, as Christ have given us a love letter for us to hold upon him, to be faithful. He said, and if possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So all is strict that he's going. We are asking you as Christ's children to rejoice in the Lord, to be faithful to the Lord, to lift up the Lord wherever you go, to be obedient in his commandment and follow his will. And if we do that, my dear brothers and sisters, we know that Christ Jesus, he is there here to help us, to carry us through. And as we finish read that last day event we just read, don't let all these things get us down. Let us rejoice by studying God's word. And it states here that the children of God are called the representative of Christ. We are Christ's representative. We are Christ's servant. We are Christ's children, that wherever we go, you know, we need to share the word and share the love of Christ with everyone we come contact with. We have to show his love. And the Lord is telling us about the greatest love that he has given unto us, charity. And we know that charity is love, and we have to give that love wherever we go. He said, Christ, I'm asking my brothers and sisters to press number one, that I can open your line, that you can share whether scripture passage. I am just warming up the place. You can share if you have a song, opening song that you want, that you can share. All right, so I'm going to just read this passage and then I'm going to open. Thank you, my dear beloved brothers and sisters who are so willing this evening to give praises to God. So let I just finish read this paragraph. It says, the children of God are called to be representative of Christ, showing forth the goodness and mercies of the Lord. As Jesus has revealed to us the true character of the Father, so we are to reveal Christ to the world that does not know his tender, pitying love. As thou hast sent me into the world, said Jesus, even so have I also sent them into the world. I am in them, and thou art in me, that the world may know that thou hast sent me. John 17:18-23. So Jesus sent us in the world to be a representative of him, carry the true gospel to the world, to draw others to you. So that is our love letter. He gave us a love letter. And tonight, dear Lord, we want to thank you that we can come and share that love letter that God has given unto us and the blessing that he has given unto us. So I'm going to start open this line for my, okay, 518-650. Your line is open. Can you tell your name and where you're calling from? Welcome on Advent Live.
I'm calling. Thank you, Sister Pearl, for opening my line. I'm calling from Albany, New York. My name is Paulette Barnaby. sound the battle cry, see the voice nigh, raise the standard high for the Lord. Gird your armor and stand firm, everyone. Fetch your cause upon his holy word. Frozen soldiers, rally round the banner. Ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud his honor. Christ is captain of the mighty throng. Strong to meet the foe, marching on we go, while our cause we must prevail. Shield and banner bright, gleaming in the light, battling for the right, we'll never can fall. Frozen soldiers, rally round the banner, onward, stirring, show the road along. Rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud his honor. Christ is captain of the mighty throng. O thou God of all, hear us when we call. Help us one and all by thy grace. When the battle's done and the victory's won, may we wear the crown before thy face. My frozen soldiers, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud his honor. Christ is captain of the mighty throng. And I'm going to read Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried away in the midst of the sea, though the waters be of roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdom were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh waters to cease. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your high and holy name. O God, you is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, dear God. And you said in your word that we must be still and know that you are God, because you will be exalted among the heathen. And you will be exalted in the earth. Oh God, thank you for being the God you are. He's a loving God. He's a mighty God. He's a powerful God. Father, you're a forgiving God. There's nothing you cannot do. With you, all things are possible. So Lord, as I come before you this evening, oh God, I am just asking you to forgive me of my sins. And Lord, if there's anything in me that is unlike you, remove it, O God, and forgive me. so that my prayer can come up to a sweet incense and your blessing may come down and bless your people. Oh God, please anoint me from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. You know everything about me, oh God. You know every member of my body. You know every hair of my head. You know me before I was in the womb, and now I'm here, Jesus, until this blessed moment. I just want to thank you for spared life. For all my going out and my coming in, oh God, and you woke me up this morning, oh God, and I'm here right now, Jesus. I'm on my feet all day, and I'm here now to give you thanks. So I just want to thank you, and I just want to praise you, and I just want to exalt you, dear God, for being such a good, good God to me. So many do not wake this morning, oh God, and some can, if they even wake, they cannot do nothing for themselves. But Lord, thank you for what you have waked me and what I have achieved since morning, what I have done. Thank you. Thank you, God. I don't have enough words and enough thanks to tell you. Lord, in the little aches and the little pains, oh God, I just want to thank you still, because it could be worse. All the little nay, and all what is going on, Jesus, you are still God, and I know you're still God, and you never change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, Lord, I put each and every one of us on the prayer line before you, along with our families, oh God. I'm asking you to step in and to take over, dear God, and to anoint, Lord Jesus. I'm asking you to bless my daughter and my grandchildren. They come and visit me today. I was so happy to see them, oh God. Thank you, Jesus, that you made me to have someone to can come and look at me and to say hi, what is going on. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for everything you have done. You're such a mighty and a powerful God. Bless each and every one on the prayer line. All our families, oh God, I put them before you, Jesus. You know each and every one on the prayer line. And you know each and every one of our families. I'm asking you to step right in, oh God, in every home now. And to do your bidding and to touch and to heal and to remove and to rebuke and to set free, oh God. You're a healer. You're a counselor. You're a forgiver. You're a miracle worker, dear God. And no one is as good as you. So, Lord Jesus, take over, dear God, and lead your way and let your will be done in each and every one of us' life, dear God. And, Lord, if there's any sickness in our body and in our family, oh God, I'm asking you, Jesus, to touch, to anoint, oh God, and to set free. Jesus, there's nothing too hard for you, and there's nothing you cannot do. Oh God, your coming is near, oh God. Help us to trim our lamp and keep it burning, ready and waiting for you, dear God. Because, Lord, in you there is life. In you there is hope. In you, oh God, there is all good things. So, Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to heal every sick, to feed the hungry, oh God, to clothe the naked, and to open shelter for the homeless. Even to Father, freely you receive and freely you give. You wish above all things that all of us should prosper and be in good health. And you wish that none of us should perish, but all of us should come to repentance. What a promise, oh God. What a mighty God you are. Father Jesus, you said in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, that we must trust in you with all our heart, dear God, and lean not unto our own understanding, dear Father. Lord, in all our ways, help us to acknowledge you and to trust you and to depend on you. Because only you alone can direct our path, oh God. Lord, help us not to be weary in well-doing, but whatever we do, to do it as unto you, dear God. Help us to be humble like you, dear God, and to do what you would do. Lord, never leave us to be found wanted, oh God. Supply our need according to your riches in glory. Anoint us, purify us, sanctify us, cleanse us, purge us. And help us, Lord, not to look at the things of this world. To let everything of this world go strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace, and to look into your face. because you is a way maker, you is a burden bearer, you is a heavy load sharer. You is everything to us, oh God. Thank you for being God. Thank you for being the miracle working God, and thank you for being the purifying God. Thank you for being the sanctifying God. Thank you for being the cleansing God. Thank you for being the healing God. You is every good, all good things, oh God. All good things is you, Jesus, and all good and perfect things come from you. Thank you for everything, Jesus. Thank you, dear God. Thank you for this prayer line. Lord, I give you all the honor, all the glory, all the praise due unto your name. Step right in and take full control like us, and I give you thanks. In the name of the Father, Son, and the sweet Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, my dear sister Barnaby, for joining and also rejoicing in the Lord by singing your song, Sound the Battle Cry. We are all soldiers in the army, Christ soldiers, to go out. And the song that, my dear sister, is aggressive evangelism, right, to go out and to sound the truth to the world, how they cry out, right, and to know that we have our great soldier, we are soldier, but we have the captain. The captain is Jesus Christ. So I thank you, my dear, for reminding us that we must cry aloud and sound the trumpet hard so that God's people will hear and come to rejoice in him. Thank you, and sure, we will be praying for your family, and we thank God for what he has done for you. Thank you, my dear sister, for sharing, singing, and also praying for us. Yes, brothers and sisters, we are thankful to know that you are joining us. So 4518-409, your line is open. Your name, where you're calling from. Blessing. 518-409, your line is open. Can you check your phone?
Yes. Hello. Good evening, Sister Paul. Thank you for having my lines open, and thank you for all of you for joining us this evening.
Amen.
On the Advent Light Ministry prayer line, we want to thank the Lord for his goodness and his mercies, which endure forever. We are in the field here of Elizabeth, that's not nice. We are in the field here working, and, you know, today, Sister Paul, God is good. We had a powerful experience at the store. After 12 o'clock, we have a Church of God, a prophecy across the street from the store. And Brother Bernard went out and passed out some flyers at 12 o'clock when the church got out. And two of the members from the church came to the store as a result of the flyers that we were passing out. And one of the ladies said, "Wow, this is very nice in here," she said. And she said, "When are your smoothies going to be open so I can come?" I said, "Well, right now, you know, the plumber is coming tomorrow to install the stuff. Then we need to submit our application. But I can give you a taste. You cannot buy, but you can try," you know. She had a son. And then there's this another lady who came from the store. She's from Jamaica. And she said, "Yeah, I'm from the Bronx, New York," she said. I said, "Oh, what are you doing here?" She said, "I've been living here for a while," she says. And she goes to the Sunday church. And she said, "Wow," she said, "you know," she said, I used to make my ginger juice with my kale, with all of these other things, Elizabeth." And she said, "It's been so long since I make these things, and I cannot wait until you guys open." And so I said, "You know, what do you all want?" I said, I'm getting ready to make a blackberry sea moss smoothie, you know, very powerful." After that, this other lady came in. And she was wanting to lose weight, and she was asking around, and we made a tofu tofu pita bread with microgreens inside of it for her, and gave her a smoothie, and she said, wow, she said, this is very good, you know. And so God is bringing people to the store, even those who are in the Sunday churches that often do not come in contact with us. They will not step foot in the church sometimes. But with the right hand of the gospel, we can get these people to come in and to visit so that we can open up. But anyways, the woman, the Jamaican lady, is also interested in Bible study. She's interested in Bible studies, and they're going to be beginning studies with them. And I was just saying today, we are opening. Keep us in prayer, Sister Paul, because the application for the smoothie is not easy, right? We're dealing with the government. And, you know, but God says all things will work together for good. So we are asking for prayer for that. We are asking that more people will come. And we are asking for a facility here where we can house people, where we can bring people from New York, from Tennessee, from various places, where they can actually come and help us. We are in need of help. And you know something, my friends, one thing I realize is this, and I realized this a very long time ago. There are many who profess the name of Christ who will not be saved. And unfortunately, many in the church, the majority of the church is going to be lost. Everybody, for the majority part, is caught up in common enterprise. What do I mean by common enterprise? Meaning we are, majority of us are caught up in a 9-to-5. And we cannot serve God once a week, brothers and sisters. You know, if you think you're serving God on the Sabbath only, you are not serving the right God. God wants to be served 7 days a week. He wants to be served. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He doesn't mean for one day. Many of us, we go to church on Sabbath, and we come home, we take a nap, we eat, and then we go right back from Sunday to Friday in the hustle and bustle, and we're caught up. And we're not winning souls. We're not witnessing. We're not telling people about Christ, right? This is not the life of a Christian. A Christian is one who is constantly telling others about Christ. And so, you know, the testimony we watched today from Meat Ministry was about this guy who was talking about how, you know, the Babylonians, sometimes they wonder at us. They said, you know, if you say your God is this and your God is that, why are you working? Why are you doing the same things that we do? Why isn't your God? Why don't you go and serve your God? Because their God is money. And a lot of us Adventists also, our God is money. And we say we serve the God in heaven, but ultimately our true God is money. Because you know what the Bible says? That we cannot serve God and money at the same time. Because we're going to either hate one and love the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So who are we going to choose to serve? Those who will decide to serve God, you know what we are told? They will give up their occupation and they will put their mouth where the ministry, they will put their funds into the ministry of the Lord. They will do that which the Lord have asked them to do. And they will be focused, razor focused on soul winning. God, friends, is looking for those who will surrender their complete life to him. You know, Sister White says that when the latter rain begins to fall, that there's going to be people right next to you who's going to receive the latter rain while others won't even have a clue. You know why? Because those individuals who will receive the latter rain are going to be those who are working in the field. Those who are working in the field will be the ones who receive the latter rain. Why would God pour out his spirit upon those who are not doing his work? Why would God put out his spirit upon those who are not working for him. That doesn't make sense. Why would he give us more power when we're not utilizing the power that we have now? And so, my friends, I'm saying that to encourage you. Do not be caught up in common hustle and bustle. Do not be caught up. Find out what God wants you to do. Find out what he is calling you to do. Find out what God is wanting you to do for him. The majority of the church are just going about life as usual. The majority of the church will not be saved. It is only those who make a decision to follow the Lord, no matter what happens. Those that make that decision to surrender their life to Christ, these are those who are willing to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These are they that are going to be caught up with him. You know, one more point before I close out. In my devotion this morning, the Lord led me to Patriarchs and Prophets, the chapter entitled Seth and Enoch, right? And I encourage you to read that chapter in Patriarchs and Prophets. And this is what, listen to what she says in there. She said, the man of that generation, okay, the man of that generation had mocked the foolishness of Enoch, who sought not to gather gold or silver or to build up possessions here. Did you hear that? In the days of Enoch. Enoch was, there's two individuals that Sister White says we should study their life carefully. Of course, Christ is without a doubt. But after Christ, the two individuals that we need to study is John the Baptist and Enoch. Why? Because Enoch is a representation of the 144,000, those who will be taken up to heaven without ever seeing death. John the Baptist is a representation of those who will give the call, who will give the certain message, who will give the cry, who will give the third angel's message before the second coming of Christ. So those two individuals are important. But notice what this says in Patriarchs and Prophets, page 69, that the men of the generation of Enoch, the men that live around Enoch's generation, around Enoch's time, were mocking Enoch because Enoch did not seek to gather gold or silver. I want you to let that soak in. They were mocking him because they said, what is wrong with this man? Why isn't he earning money? Why isn't he earning gold? Why isn't he digging for silver? Why isn't he serving the money that we serve? They mock Enoch because of this, because he did not seek to gather gold and silver and to build up possessions here. But it says, but Enoch's heart was upon eternal treasures. His heart was upon eternal treasures. His mind, his conversation were in heaven. And the greater the existing iniquity, the more earnest was his longing for home with God, for the home with God. So the man of God, Enoch, was not focused on silver or gold. He was not focused on gathering possession. He was not focused on making money. He was not focused on getting a PhD. This is what the world is chasing after today, and to some degree, to a great degree, the church is also involved in the same thing. But my friends, I got a question for you. Those men that were mocking Enoch because he was not He was not seeking to gather gold or silver. Where are they today? They're dead. And where is Enoch, who did not seek after gold and silver? Where is he today? He's in heaven. The Bible says, labor not. I'm going to quote this from John chapter 6 for you. The Bible says, labor not. Labor not for the meat that perisheth. John 6:27. Are you laboring for the meat that's perishing? Are you laboring for a house, for a car, for status, for class? Labor not for the meat that perisheth, but for the meat that endures to everlasting life. What is it that will endure to everlasting life? You know what it is? Souls. Souls are what will endure to everlasting life. In fact, I want to show you this in the book of Daniel, chapter 12. Notice what the Bible says in Daniel, chapter 12. And it says in verse 3 of Daniel 12, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So the wise will shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they are shining because there are stars in their crowns. Labor not for the meat that perisheth. There's another scripture that says that we should gather our riches where moth nor rust doth corrupt. Okay, that's in Matthew chapter 6:19. Lay not for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Friends, when the economy crashes, now you know the Bible talks about the crashing of the economy in the book of Revelation, right? Revelation chapter 17. Have you ever read what's going to happen? None of the things that we are seeking after will last. The only ones that at that time of the crashing of the economy that's going to have something lasting, something valuable, are going to be those who are laying their treasures in heaven. And those treasures are none other than souls, because Ellen White says one soul is worth more than all the gold and all the silver that the world has to offer. Take it from me. Take it from me. There is not much time left. I know we said this a lot. There is not much time left. Things are wrapping up. And right now there is a false deception that everything is okay again, right? Everything is kind of coming back to normal. But see, this is exactly where Satan wants us to be. To think that all is well. To think that all is normal again. Life is going back as we know it. When we are on the brink of the end of the world. And yet many do not see, do not comprehend, do not understand, cannot hear the voice of God speak to them and says, son and my daughter, things are wrapping up. There's no need for you to seek after riches. There's no need for you to seek after money. Things are wrapping up. This is not the time for you to go and get into debt. Things are wrapping up, and that which will matter only is those who have put their treasure in the kingdom of God. You know, why is it that Adventists show no greater zeal than the world? Why is it that we are doing the same things that the world are doing? We're keeping up with the Joneses. We're trying to buy the next new car, the next new house. We are doing the exact same thing that the world is doing, and we call ourselves Christians. We are not trying to tell souls about the second coming of Christ. You know why? Because we are dead in sins and trespasses. But God wants to revive us, amen? There is a solution, and that solution is prayer. When we begin to agonize and pray and ask God to open our eyes, we will begin to see that we don't have much time left. If you think if you feel some sort of security and you feel okay, that's a false impression that the enemy has given you. Because, my friends, the Bible says, he knoweth that he has but a short time. He knows that he has but a short time. That's why there is pandemic after pandemic, earthquake, wars. He knows that he has but a short time. You see what is happening in Israel? Rockets are being flown into Israel. Rockets are being dropped into Gaza. These things should awaken our conscience. And we should say, Lord, as did Isaiah, what will thou have me to do? What will thou have me to do? Keep us in prayer here, and may God bless you.
Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Brother Yudi, for coming on and to give that report. And we are so thankful to the Lord, what the Lord have been doing, because God wants his people to represent him in everything that they do. And also, by representing him, is to share the gospel message, because the greatest need is for soul. Now, so we thank you for what is happening in Arkansas with the store, and also the people around who is coming in to support and also to learn more about the health message so that they can put their life in order. So I just want to thank, and also the comment that you have mentioned about the God's people, what they are most interested in, brothers and sisters, as representative of Christ, when Christ representative, you know, we have to follow what the Lord said, and these words, what he said, we have to go out. We have to share God's message to others. And some of us will be in foreign land. Some will at our own little area where we are from the messages going out, like with the store and all these things. It is representing the character of Christ so that people will be changed. So dear brother is asking for help, Lord, you know, he's asking for help. And if our heart is stirred, brothers and sisters on this line, and willing to go to help, Father, help in all ways, but greatest help and need, we are asking you your prayer, because we cannot do without prayer. Prayer is the source. So we ask you to continue to pray for Brother Yudi and family over that side of the world so that the message will go out. And also, we must look upon the life of the apostles, how they have carried out this work, the same work that we have now, how they have carried out this work. And this work go over and reach all over the world. And now we have the opportunity to do the same thing. So I just want to thank Brother Yudi for just reminding us of the work that God wants us to do. And all these are, we have to have the perfect, come up to that perfection of Christ, you know, because we saw only Christ, people who are being obedient, they are the one that is going to enter the eternal rest with Christ. So, brothers and sisters, if you are willing and ready, even prior and to help, you can also call Brother Yudi. He is there. He'll give you instruction and how you can reach him and what we can do. Thank you again, Brother Yudi, for coming and sharing and the praise report about how the people, Sunday people, remember, yeah, Sunday people, they were passing out tracts. And because of passing out these literature and these books, the Sunday people were able, even two, the Lord said, if one comes, he is so grateful, and the angel rejoiced. See, they were passing out tracts, literature, and we saw what happened. And you know what? From there, they are going to see. So let us really pray for this project, please. God, thank you again, Brother Yudi. Okay, 518-744, your line is open.
Thank you, Sister Powell, for opening my line. This is Brother Rick from Fort Wayne, New York, and just sitting here listening to Brother Yudi and you, Sister, and the Sister Barnaby, and just thanking the Lord for his mercy and his grace today. You know, things have really been busy here lately, and I believe as Brother Yudi was speaking, you know, Satan is trying to keep us busy with the things of this earth. And if he can do that, he will distract us from what is most important, which is doing God's work, seeking God. And I've been thinking about this a lot lately. You know, I've run into a lot of people. This weekend we went to the New York conference camp meeting out in Union Springs, where I grew up, and my mom and dad lived there, so I got to visit with them and my sister, and I got to meet some friends I hadn't seen in a long time, and it was good to see them, but many of them are discouraged, and Satan has been throwing up roadblocks in their paths, and they have been discouraged. I have a friend who's a couple years younger than I am, but he taught at the academy for many years. He taught most of my children Bible. Excellent, I mean, just a wonderful Christian, a very deep thinker, and always trying to get the kids to think beyond what they see. And, you know, he did a very good job with Emily. She, my youngest daughter, went the school there, and she actually worked for him as one of his graders, you know, in the Bible class, and she really enjoyed him because he always challenged them to think past what they were seeing. And so I got to talk to him, and, you know, he's taught there many years. They let him go due to budget cuts, and so he became a pastor in the Northern New England Conference up in Vermont. He had three churches. And then he was hired to be the youth director for the Northern New England Conference. And he served in that position for just a few months, and all of a sudden he was gone. And I did not hear from him. Had, you know, I saw pictures of him in the Gleaner and stuff, and then all of a sudden he just kind of disappeared. Well, I don't know what happened. I don't believe there's anything that he did, because I've known him for many years. He was just a very godly man. And I just ran into him this weekend and talked to him. He's been seeking for a pastoral job ever since last summer, so it's been a year or more, and he still has not found one. God has not answered his prayer. He said he wants to be a pastor, you know, to lead people to Christ or to teach. And, you know, he's applied for teaching jobs at different Adventist schools, and he has not found a job. And he was a little bit discouraged. And then I ran into a couple other friends that, you know, not the same experience, but other experiences, and they've been discouraged. One of my old bosses from when I worked at the broom shop in the academy, I retired going back 43 years ago, he was my boss, and just a very good man to work for. He developed cancer 12 years ago, and he's been fighting this for 12 years now, and he is now 71 years old. And I talked to his wife, and she was kind of discouraged because, you know, the cancer is not progressing quickly, and they've been using natural means. He's not gone to the doctors to get chemotherapy or radiation. He would have been dead many years ago if he had. They're using natural methods, but his mind is starting to suffer because of all of this. She said his mind is more like the mind of an 85-year-old rather than a 71-year-old just because of all that he's gone through. And she was discouraged, so I tried to encourage her. And then I talked to my nephew today. He lives up in Maine. He's a truck driver, just a fine young man. And he's been discouraged lately. Just didn't seem that people care like they used to. And so he was just kind of down. So I had to give him a pep talk. You know what? When Satan is discouraging us, we need to find others to encourage. And that's what's been happening with me lately. Satan has been trying to discourage me, and he's been working on me in every way possible. And I found myself being discouraged at times. And you know, as I was encouraging these other people, God gave me a new resolve to step up each day and follow Him. And I think each one of us needs to remember that when Satan is trying to get us down, when he is trying to get in our way, to discourage us, to get us to give up on Christ, we need to find someone that's having a hard time. Encourage them, brothers and sisters. Encourage them in the Lord. Point them to the one and only hope that we have, which is Jesus Christ. And so I was talking to my nephew Brandon. I told him, buddy, you've got to step up. You need to lead your family. His wife and daughter are going to church without him. He goes once in a while, but not often. And each week when I talk to him, I talk to him every Sunday for a couple hours as he's driving trucks. Try to keep him awake and keep him from getting too bored. I keep encouraging him to go with his wife and daughter to church. They need a godly man to lead them. A woman was not made to lead the family. She is there in a different role, a different capacity, just as important as the man's role, but in a different one. And so I just keep encouraging him each week. And he told me that he would start going again, that he needs to do that because he has been discouraged and not wanting to go. And brothers and sisters, Satan is working extremely hard. And I just wanted to read this text here. I got to get to my Bible app. I'm outside and I'm working out here for a bit. It was like 92 degrees today here in New York, and it is very hot and muggy. But we're not used to 92 degree weather. I'm sure Brother Udy is probably smiling because it's probably a lot warmer out there. But, you know, we aren't quite used to this. It's been quite warm. So we finally got home today after going to camp meeting and turned on the air conditioner inside, and I'm working outside. And you know what? God is good. He is taking care of me. The breeze is blowing, and you know what? It's amazing. Okay, I'm looking for my text here in Psalm 63. I have to read one moment here. Okay, here we go. We'll get to this here, sister. Trying to find it, and I just got this. Yes. Psalm 63, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, faithful as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. You know, as I was listening to Sister Barnaby and Sister Powell praise the Lord, I thought of these verses here. Because of thy loving kindness, because of his loving kindness, we have a reason to praise him. And, you know, it's good to hear that. But there were one part of verse 1. Early will I seek thee. I was encouraging Brandon to get up early in the morning. If he's driving his truck, sometimes he has to drive all night. He'll go into work at 8 o'clock in the morning, and he won't finish. I mean, he'll go in at 8 o'clock at night, and he won't finish till 8 o'clock the next morning. I told him, you know, buddy, when you see that sun coming up, you know, that's when you have to consecrate your life to the Lord for that day. You can't do it for the day before you. You can't do it for the day ahead of you. You have to do it for that day. So just an encouragement to each one of my brothers and sisters out there. Each morning when that sun comes up, when we wake up, get up and look to the Lord. Early will I seek thee. Early will I praise thee. And you know what, that's the only way that we're going to make it through this. And Satan is trying to distract us. He is trying to discourage us. He is trying to get us on his side or just to nullify our witness. And you know what, if we don't seek the Lord early each morning and consecrate our life to us, to him each morning, guess what? We won't have a testimony for the Lord. We won't have a witness for the Lord, as Brother Udy was speaking about. We got to get out there and witness. But if we have nothing to witness about, what are we going to witness? We can't. We have to have that relationship. We have to have that early morning time with him in the scriptures, in prayer, in pleading with him to change the desperately evil hearts of ours into something that he can use, brothers and sisters. It is time, and each one of us feels it. Each one of us sees that, and sometimes we just go back to our old ways. We go back to our old precepts. You know, in the in your vehicle, you have precepts for your radio, and you just push a button and it goes to one of your favorite stations. Well, our minds do the same thing. When we are working, we get busy, and we're not actively thinking about what we're doing. When we are on autopilot, we go back to our old precepts, the things that we've always done. And for most of us, that is not a good thing. So we have to call on Christ. We have to call on, pray for His Holy Spirit each morning, brothers and sisters, so that when we are working, when we are interacting with people, when we are doing whatever it is we are doing, that He will be leading us. He will be guiding our words and our thoughts and our actions and giving us that testimony for Him each day, that each day anew. So when somebody comes up to us and asks us a question, asks us, what is this hope that you have, that we will actually have a real hope that we can share with them, brothers and sisters. And that is part of the gospel, that hope that we can share with others. So let's get up early each morning and seek Him, and each day we will have that testimony that we can share with others. When they see us, when we see them, we can go to them and say, oh, brother, sister, look what the Lord did for me this morning. Look what He showed me this morning. And they're going to say, wow, I never saw that before. And you know what? We are going to be blessed. They are going to be blessed. And it's just going to be a wonderful, wonderful thing. And Satan will not be able to discourage us if we are seeking the Lord each day and communing with Him. So just want to leave you with that. Just want to say a short prayer, Sister Powell, for my brothers and sisters. Please keep me and my family in prayer. Much is going on with Ashley, with all of my children. I have children in Washington, D.C. They're looking for houses, and their houses down there are going for $1 million. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, don't let them fall into that trap where they think they have to pay $1 million for a house, you know. It's Satan is working hard, so please pray for my family, brothers and sisters. I just want to lift up everybody. Oh, Lord God, this evening, Father, as we have gathered to hear your word, Lord, we praise you, Lord. We just lift up our praises to you. You are the one and only God. You are wonderful. You are gracious. You are merciful, kind, and patient and long-suffering, God. You have put up with us for so long, Lord. And, Father, I don't know why you do, but you love us. And because of that, you continue, oh, Lord, we need that love in our hearts. And we will put up with others no matter what they say or do, as you would, so that we can win them for you, Lord. We can point them to you, and you can save them to your kingdom, Lord. Father, our families are being misled by the enemy, Lord. They are being deceived into thinking that riches and these things are what is important in this world, as Brother Yudi mentioned just a few minutes ago, Lord. Now, Lord, I just do ask that your Holy Spirit would just come into their hearts, Lord, would save them from this deception, Lord. Oh, Lord, as we get up each morning, Lord, I pray that you would be the first thing on our minds, that your word and communion with you in prayer, Lord, would be the most important thing. And Lord, as we do these things, Lord, give us that testimony that we can share with others, that you can bless, that you can honor, oh, Lord. Guide us and keep us, Lord. Be with each one of my brothers and sisters in the prayer line. Keep them from the wiles of the enemy, Lord. He is seeking to devour anybody and everybody that is in, Lord. And, oh, Lord, we want to be in your kingdom. And we know that if we are not careful, that he could deceive us also, Lord. He said that if it were possible, he will deceive even the very elect, Lord. And so, Father, I pray that we would be in that number that is in your kingdom, Lord. But, Lord, along with just ourselves, Lord, that we would influence others to come to you, to seek you, to search for you, so they will be saved to your kingdom also, Lord. And we can all be there together on that sea of glass, praising your blessed and high and holy name, Lord. We thank you. We praise you. We love you, Lord. Be with Sister Powell as she is hosting tonight, Lord. Be with our speaker, whoever that may be, Lord. Be with Brother Yudi and his family in the store as he was telling us the needs there, Lord. Oh, Lord, may our hearts be drawn out to your work, not just the things we have to do, but the things that you have for us to do, Lord. More important things, Lord, the most important things. Guide us and bless us, Lord. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Sister Paul.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Give God the praise. Thank you, Elder Rick, for joining us. We pray for you. We miss you a few weeks, and we are thankful that you was able to come on the line to encourage us with some wonderful, encouraging thoughts and word, how we must seek the Lord and what we are supposed to be doing. So we just want to thank you also, despite of so much things going on with their friend who's 71 year old with that cancer, and you know, his mind is not working right, and you know, family members is in, you know, trouble, trials and tribulation, especially when we saw her loved one. And also we're praying for your son, the one, the truck driver, you know, asking God to protect him and to keep him and to allow him to focus his mind upon you so that he can stay close to you day by day while he is. And another encouraging word they gave us is that seek ye the Lord first, the kingdom of heaven, his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. You spoke about the early morning prayer, talking to the Lord, reading and studying the word. And I just want to give God thanks for these encouraging words, because a group of ladies on the Advent Light early morning prayer at 9 o'clock, and brothers and sisters, we gather on the line 9 o'clock or a little after 9. It was a little earlier, but for convenience with some of our sisters, we have a set date, 9 o'clock on the conference line. And we petition everyone in prayer. And I thank God for that because it allowed me to build my confidence and also, you know, build my confidence in the Lord by, you know, asking. And we have been seeing the Lord answering prayer. So I just want to thank you, Brother Elder Rick, for encouraging us with these comforting words and reminding us that the only thing we can deal, our only person we can hold upon is Jesus Christ at this time, right, and prayer. And I'm encouraging my brothers and sisters, let us seek the Lord early morning while we get up. And also we are praying for the church, your daughter, who teach at the school, Lord, and also have the responsibility with the church where, you know, God is able to do all things. And we proxy every one of us here. Let us pray for each other. We need prayers to strengthen us, you know, because the work has to go on. God's work has to go on. And if we do not study his word, there is nothing we can, as our brother elder said, we can rejoice in the Lord if we don't know the Lord. So first we have to have a connection with him. And when we have a connection with him, then we will know. Because he said, Christians are set as light bearers. We are light bearers on our way to heaven. And if we are light bearers on our way to heaven, they are to reflect the world, that the light shining upon them from Christ. So light bearer have to reflect the light of God shining within us, that wherever we go, whether we are at our workplace, whether we are at a class, whether we are at the store, wherever we are, we should have the light shine upon us of Christ. And that life on their life and character should be such as though others will get a right concept of service. So going out there to do the work of God, we have to have our light shine. Despite of what is going on, we cannot put that on our brain right now, the things that is happening, but we have to depend upon Christ. So thank you, Elder, for reminding us, you know, of our prayer and our seeking the Lord. And we sure will pray for you and the others and the society. We pray that God will pour out his blessings upon them. Yes, brothers and sisters, I'm asking you to press number one. I don't know who's speaking tonight, but we ask you to press number one. 272-770-88. Your line is open. I know you like to share. Whether your line is open is for one, you always like to share. So can you tell your name and where you're calling from? Open your line. 272-770.
Good evening, Sister Powell. How are you this evening? Good evening, all my beautiful brothers and sisters. God bless you all. My name is Tymeco Preston, and I'm in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. And I have my sister with me on the line, Elizabeth. We are both on the line. We give the Lord praise and thanks for a beautiful day. And we're so grateful that we're able to be on the line with you to share blessings and praises. So
amen.
I would like to sing a song. Amen, amen. I would like to sing a song, if I may.
Amen, amen.
Amen, praise God. I don't know if her line might be muted, but I would like to sing a song.
Yes,
it's
okay. Taken from, you can go.
Thank you. It's taken from Isaiah 12, 2. Jehovah, our strength. Glorious Jehovah, our strength and our might. You are our Savior and you we delight. We are your witnesses bearing your news. Whether men hear or they proudly refuse. Jehovah, our rock, our strength and our might. Your name we make known, both day and night. Glorious Jehovah, almighty in power, you are our hiding place, you are our tower. We who now serve you rejoice in your light, as at our making our choice for your kingdom, we stand. Jehovah, our rock, our strength and our might, your name we make known both day and night. Glorious Jehovah, almighty in power, you are our hiding place, you are our tower. Gladly, O God, we keep doing your will. Though Satan mocks us, we're trusting you still. Though he may slay us or help us to be firm to the end for your grand sovereignty. Jehovah, our rock, our strength and our might, your name we make known both day and night. Glorious Jehovah, almighty in power, you are our hiding place, you are our tower. Amen. Amen. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
I thank you so much,
Amen.
My dear brothers and sisters. I would like to read a scripture in the Bible from the book of Psalms, if I may. Psalms 100,
Amen.
1 through 5. Amen. Amen. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Amen. Know that the Lord, he is God, and it is he who has made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Amen and amen. I just wanted to share that with my beautiful brothers and sisters on the line. And I pray that everyone is safe and well. I pray that the Lord blesses you all abundantly and keeps you all safe and well during this evening and for the rest of your lives. May we trust in the Lord with all our minds and hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Sister Tamika from Pennsylvania, and also Sister Elizabeth for joining us, and also share that wonderful song, Jehovah is our rock, he's our strength, and in him is a hiding place. So you know what? We have to trust him. He can help us. So all we have to do is to trust, and also your reading. Thank you, my dear Sister. God is so good. He is so great. And we have to know that, remember that we have a Jehovah God who is the one who gave us the strength. He is the one who gave us health, strength, providing for us, and allow us that we can join this evening to give praises unto him. So thank you again for sharing. Okay. 857-505, your line is open. And briefly, please.
Hello, Sister Power. Hello, brothers and sisters, Advent Light Ministry. Hello, beloved. My name is Brother Eli. I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts. First of all, Sister Power, I'd like to thank God for Sister Tamika with singing, Sister Power. Sister Power, I am so blessed because Sister Tamika sang that song. I am blessed, Sister Power. I am blessed. And Sister Power, earlier at 7:50, Sister Power, at 7:50 p.m., I heard Brother Yudi say, brothers and sisters, on this prayer line, we need to wake up, brothers and sisters. We need to wake up, brothers and sisters. Remember, Brother Yudi say, brothers and sisters, to wake up, to praise God, to magnify his name, to worship him, because God is good, brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters, it's time. It's time to wake up, brothers and sisters. It's time, brothers and sisters, because God is God. God is merciful. He's awesome. He's worthy to be praised. Sister Powell, I have a prayer request tonight. My prayer request tonight is to pray for my mother. Lift my mom in prayer, Sister Powell. Sister Powell, pray for my mom. Pray for Brother Jahari, Sister Powell. Sister Powell, pray for Sister Ebony. Sister Powell, pray for Sister Ebony. Pray for Brother Isma. Sister Powell, pray for Brother Jahari, Sister Powell. Pray for Brother Jahari's staff, his family. Lift up Brother Jahari's family and pray for his staff to Sister Powell. Pray for his brother and sister. And Sister Powell, my mom, pray for who else, Sister Powell? Pray for Brother Javel because he needs a lot of prayer at this moment too, Sister Powell. Brother Javel needs a lot of prayer. And Sister Powell, my mom, raised me to be a nice person because I am a nice person to Brother Javel. But Sister Powell, pray for Brother Javel. Pray for his family. Pray for his brother and sister. Pray for his mother. Sister Powell, I want to ask that question to Sister Powell. I don't know if Brother Javel's mom raised him to be a nice person, but Sister Powell, Brother Javel needs to be a nice person. I don't know. Sister Powell, can you ask Brother Hakeem James that question? I don't know if Brother Javel's family, if Brother Javel's family wise him to be a nice person because Sister Powell,
I am raised him to be a nice person.
Yes. I'm a nice person,
yes,
Sister Powell. Pray for him.
Yes, brother Eli. All we have to do is to pray for our brothers and sisters, right? God is able. God knows their heart, right? So we just have to pray for them. Brothers and sisters, we are going to go into a prayer. I haven't seen Brother Akeem James, so maybe after Brother Yudi, maybe you have to prepare to present the message. So far, we are going in a season of prayer. Elder Rick prayed a while ago, but I'm going to open the line for Brother Rick again. 518-744, Elder Rick, I'm asking you if you can do the overall prayer for us. And the next
yes.
voice you will hear, my dear brothers and sisters, after Brother Rick, I just want to thank everyone who joined. And if there is somebody else who want to share, you can press 1 that I can open your line. Brother Rick will lead us in prayer. Brother Rick, you heard the requests of Brother Eli, request for Javel, his family, pray for his own family, his old family, and also Brother Eli, mom, and Isma, and also pray for this prayer line, and also pray for the success of the health store in Arkansas, Brother Yudi store, and pray for us, brother.
Yes.
Thanks.
Yes. Okay. We bow our heads, brothers and sisters, and let us seek the Lord. Oh, Father, as we come before you again, oh, Lord, you heard the praises, Lord, the songs, the people praising your name, Lord, and your goodness to them and to me and each one of us, Lord. Oh, Father, we just lift you up. We praise you. We thank you, Lord. Brother Eli is always praising you, Lord. And, Lord, we just want to follow in that footstep, Lord, and praise you because, Lord, there's nothing good in us, Lord, if there is anything in us that is found to be good, Lord, it's from you. Oh, Lord, and Father, we desire to do your will. We desire to be your children. We desire to be kind and be all the things that Jesus was on this earth, Lord. And Father, we are weak. And Lord, there is nothing good in us, oh, Lord. We are coming before you, asking that you forgive our sins this evening, oh, Lord. Lord, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Lord. search our hearts, O Lord, and try us, Lord, if there be any wicked way in us, Lord. Show us those things so that we can bring them to you, Lord. That you can work upon our hearts, you can change us into your image, Lord, so that when that final day comes, Lord, we will be waiting in that group that says, lo, our Lord, that we have waited for is coming to save us. And Father, that is our prayer tonight, Lord, that you would keep us from the wiles of the devil, that you would keep us from all the things in this world that are distracting us, that you would keep us from sin and all those things that, Lord, that we know would separate us from you and end in our death, Lord. We want to be in your kingdom, Lord. So tonight, Lord, we lift up each one of the prayer requests tonight, Lord. Sister Barnaby came on, and Lord, I know she has family, Lord. She is a great witness for you, a prayer warrior, always willing, with a song on her lips, Lord. We lift her up and her family, Lord. Sister Powell, so faithfully hosting for us, Lord. They lift her up and her family, Lord. Her ministry in Jamaica, those young children, Lord. We just lift them up. Each one of her children and her grandchildren, Lord, each one of her family members, Father, we just pray for them, Lord. I think of Sister Tamika, who called in and sang such a lovely song, oh Lord, and her friend with her, Lord, we just lift them up and their families, Lord, and their everything about them, Lord, we give to you, oh Father. May you bless them, may you guide them, Lord. And Brother Eli, as he is calling up and asking for prayer for his mom, Lord, just lift up his mom. He is so faithful in lifting her up. And Lord, we just want you to be close to her, to guide her, to keep her, Lord. Brother Eli's friend, Brother Johari, and the staff at Brother Johari's house, Lord, we just lift them up. May you work upon their hearts. May you bring them to this prayer, Lord, Lord. And Brother Jovell, Lord, we want to lift him up. And Brother Eli wants a special prayer for him, Lord. Oh, Lord, we just pray that your holy angels would surround him, that your Holy Spirit would reach into his heart and, Lord, do the work that needs to be done there, Lord, in each one of us so far. Father, Brother Eli is praying for Brother Isma and some of his other friends, Lord. I don't remember all the names, Lord, but you know what they are. Lord, we especially lift up Brother Eli as he is seeking you, as he is witnessing for you, as he is praising you, Lord. Please, Lord, continue to bless him and guide him and keep him, Lord, that a song would be in his heart, Lord, and peace would be with him, Father. Father, Brother UDF, for prayers for the store, Lord, and all the folks that they're witnessing to, Brother Bernard. And, oh, Lord, we just want to lift up Sister Melissa and young Caleb and young Elizabeth, Lord, as they are part of all that process there, too, Lord. Bless them and keep them, oh, Father. Guide them and protect them from the enemy, Lord. Give them strength, give them wisdom, Lord. Give them all that they need to be that witness for you, Lord. And as they were praying, Brother Udi was asking for help, Lord. Oh, Lord, our help comes from you. But, Lord, you have given us the privilege to be your hands and your feet and your eyes and your ears, oh, Lord. So, Lord, may we not turn away when there is something that needs to be done, Lord. Something that we can do, that we can bless others with a talent that we have, maybe funds that you have blessed us with over the years, Lord. Help us not to be stingy with those, but to give them to your cause without complaining, without asking for anything in return, Lord. Instead, we would, if we seek for the world's praise in these things, Lord, that would be our reward, Lord, and we don't want that to be our reward, Lord. We want you to be our reward. So, Father, as we think on these things, Lord, guide our minds and our hearts, Lord. Keep us from sinning, Lord. Keep us from
yielding to temptation, Lord. Our families, Lord, we lift them up to you, O Lord. Our sons and daughters, our cousins, our nieces and nephews, Lord, our grandchildren, our parents, aunts and uncles, all of our family members, Lord. We just want to just lift them up, Lord, and pray that your spirit would be working in a mighty way upon their hearts, O Lord, as you are their only hope, you are our only hope, Lord. So continue to work on us as you're working on them, Lord. We know that you can and you will, Father. Bless us with your Holy Spirit. Bless us with your love so that we can extend that to others, so that we can show them that there is something much better than what this world offers, O Lord. Father, be with each one of the members of the Advent Light Prayer Line family, Lord. Each one that listens on the prayer line, Lord, each one that calls in, those who share, those who don't, Lord, we just lift each one of them up to you. Father, we haven't heard Sister Leola in a while. I do lift her up to you and her family, Lord. Also, Sister Brenda, Brother John, Lord, Brother Bernard and his family, Lord. So many others, Father. My mind is weak. It doesn't remember all the names, Lord, but you know who they are, where they are, and what they are doing, Lord. Please watch over them. Bring them back to this line, Lord, so that they can offer their testimony, Lord, so that we can hear and we can praise you for the goodness that you have shown them and us, Lord. Guide us this night, Lord, as we are preparing to listen to a message, Lord. Prepare our hearts to receive it. Do the work that needs to be done in our hearts, Lord, that we may be called your children. We thank you. We praise you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Elder. Heavenly Father, we thank our dear Elder for this prayer. And now, dear Lord, we lift him up to you. We ask you, Father, for strength. We ask you for courage. We ask you, Lord, to allow him that his light will shine wherever he go. Lord, he has a great responsibility, a responsibility at his work, as a workplace, a responsibility as his church, and also his family, Lord, and the work that you have been allowing him to do, dear Lord, by carrying your message. We ask you for your love and your mercies towards him, and allow him with that strength that he needs as he pray each day by day, Lord, for each other and also his family. So this moment we present to you, Lord, Ashley. Oh Lord, you know everything about Ashley, so we ask you to strengthen her and also her children, her his other daughters and son and his wife. Dear Lord, we ask you to cover them. And dear Father, we just linger a little longer, Lord, to present Sister Elizabeth, Lord, who joined with Sister Tamika on the phone. Lord, we want to give you thanks for her, the ministry that she had drawn Sister Tamika to you, and she present the Sabbath message to Sister Tamika, and she had received it with your love. And now, dear Lord, despite she's in the nursing home, she's still giving you praise and bringing glory to your name. So we ask you to strengthen Sister Elizabeth and allow us that we will continue to lift her up in prayer, dear Lord, because, Father, this is the time we need to pray for our sick and also those who are in institutions. So please pour your blessings upon them. I also, dear Father, tonight lift up our dear Sister Brenda to you and Brother John. Continue to pour out your blessings upon them. Lord, you know the work that they are doing in Louisiana, and we ask you for strength. Cover them, Lord. We heard from our dear Sister Leola, who said, send greeting, and said she will be soon joining us again. Lord, we thank you for the work that she has been doing and her health, Lord, that you have been keeping her. We also tonight, dear Father, lift up the speaker in which we have not seen the speaker, but we lift up Brother Yudi, who we are going to ask present the message. So bless each heart, Lord, and as you hear all these prayer requests that lift up to you, dear Father, Sister Consinelli, and your Sister Stephanie, and these young people, we lift up the church to you with the leadership of our church. We lift up, Lord, the work that you want us to perform in the community by sharing your message to others. We ask you for pour your Holy Spirit upon us like the day of Pentecost, that we will be revived, reformed, and rejuvenated, that we can carry your gospel message. We also lift up Sister Payne to you, Lord, Sister Carlos, Sister Richardson, Elder Richardson, Brother O'Neill, dear Father, you know everything about them. We ask you, Lord, to strengthen them. We lift up Sister Lynn. Lord, continue to be our guide. Continue to be our great physician. And we trust you and know that you are here. And also, Lord, we lift up the country land. There are a lot of people joking a country land, Lord, but we know how difficult it is. So we ask you, Lord, to provide something for them that they will be mindful, Lord, that the work that they have to do is to go out to save souls. Bless us and keep us and guide us tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Yes, brothers and sisters on this line, I'm going to open the line. It's time for the message. I have not seen it, Brother Akin James. If you are on the line, can you press number one that I can know that you are here, that you are here to present the message. So, Brother Akin, can you press number one that you can? I can identify that you are here. And if there is no one, I am going to open Brother Udi line that he can. We are actually near 9 o'clock, so we are going to open Brother Udi line. 518-409, can you? Their line is open, Brother Udi. I don't know if you have a message for us tonight, Brother Akin James. Is not here with us tonight.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. And in all things we give thanks and honor and glory to God, for He is worthy to be praised. I'm going to read a little reading for this evening. It's entitled Gain That Is Lost. Gain that is lost. We're going to open up in Luke, the 12th chapter. We will begin reading from 12 to 21. Luke chapter 12, verse 13 to 21. And Father in heaven, as we open up your word, we know that we need your understanding. We ask. We pray for a double portion of a practical understanding of this message this evening is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. In Luke, the 12th chapter, beginning at verse 13, we're going to read to verse 21. The Bible says, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge and a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose those things be? Then whose shall those things be? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. You know, the Bible is full of admonition and parables. The parables of Christ here is dealing with a man who is speaking to Christ about asking him to be a divider of an inheritance. Now, we are told in the book Christ Object Lessons that we are told that through Moses, God had given direction concerning the transmission of property. The eldest son received a double portion of the father's estate. We can see that in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 17. Let's go there. Deuteronomy 21, verse 17. The Bible says, "But he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he hath. For he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his." So in Deuteronomy, Moses, through the law, had written that, in fact, inheritance was to be divided, but that the elder son was to be was to receive a double portion. But here, this elder son, in Luke, the 12th chapter, seems to have an issue with the inheritance not being divided equally. In other words, this individual went to Christ and asked Christ to interpose, or he requested of Christ to come in between this family dynamic, if you will, this issue that arises probably between him and his other siblings over the goods of his father, who had apparently left some inheritance, right? And in verse 14 of Luke, the 12th chapter, Jesus answers this young man by saying, "Who made me a judge and a divider over you?" Now, it is interesting because we ask, why did Christ say such things? It is not that he was not, he was indifferent to the issue that this young man was going through. It wasn't that he did not believe in what the law had said concerning the division of inheritance, but Christ saw a deeper issue in the heart of this young man, and he wants to, and he's going to bring it out. I want you to notice what it says in verse 15. "And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness." That word covetousness means greed. So Christ was alerting this young man to be careful to not be greedy. All right? In other words, that which was granted him, he should have been satisfied with it. Excuse me. Christ is the true witness. And so he's able to discern in the heart of this young man that there was an issue that he needed to deal with in his heart that would hinder him from truly being a servant of Christ. And so Christ points right to the issue in the heart of this young man, and Christ notes that there was covetousness. Now, the Bible tells us that we shall not covet. Amen? And so there was covetousness, there was greediness in this young man's heart. The Bible says, "Beware of covetousness." Notice, "For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possess." Now, there are many people today who actually believe that the abundance of things they possess constitute a blessing. Now, Paul says, from these individuals who think in this manner, who think in this way that we should walk away from them. In fact, notice what the Bible reads in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to 2 Timothy, the third chapter, and notice what the Bible says. This is significant. As I talked about earlier, the second coming of Christ, and how many will be deceived because of covetousness, because of greediness. Because Ellen White tells us that there aren't not one in a hundred who are engaged in nothing more than common enterprise. Common enterprise means common business. In other words, this is not the business of the Lord, but these are common business. And you say to me, well, Brother Udy, aren't we supposed to be in business? I said, you know what? There's nothing wrong with business. But there's a misunderstanding of what business is within our church, and that comes from a miseducation, a misunderstanding of what true education is. In the book Education, we are told that the education that we receive not only prepare us for this life, but it should prepare us for the next life to come. So in other words, friends, the trade that we have in our hands, the PhD that we have held, right, these things that was granted us is not for us to serve our purpose merely upon this earth, but these things should be serving us even better in the way of eternal life, in the way of eternal life. And so, friends, the misunderstanding of our education comes from a lack of studying of the Bible and of the spirit of prophecy. It is a lack of understanding of the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. When we open book like the Broken Blueprint, look up these books, and you can pick it up at Advent Light Ministry at the health food store. When you pick up books like the Broken Blueprint, it talks about how the industries of God's people were to not be separate from ministry. Our ministry should be within our industry. Why? Because the Bible tells us, in another scripture in the Bible tells us that we should be fervent in business. And I will share that in a little bit. But let's go to the book of 2 Timothy, as we were in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And notice what the Bible says in verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 5. And brothers and sisters, I want to prepare you and get you ready now, because in a few weeks, we will be making a decision that is going to be solely on the Lord's side, and we will be making a decision to fully go into full-time ministry. And this decision is final. And I know I have said it before, but this time, the Lord has shown me clearly that he has not called me to a job, called me to a calling. There's a difference between a job and a calling. And when you are doing a calling, following a calling, you don't need to worry about a job because the Lord will provide. And so we had asked the Lord for the gift of the store. We had asked him to give us the help to be able to set these things up. And now that he has done it, he is saying to me, what are you doing? What are you doing? Your wife is unable to perform these works on her own. You need to be side by side, working together as a family and witnessing to those who are ready to perish. This is what meaneth by putting our treasure where moth and rust do not corrupt and steal. In 2 Timothy, the third chapter, verse 5. And so with that being said, you're going to hear us more in the line. We're going to begin more teachings as we used to. The line is going to go back to what it's supposed to. You're going to hear more preparational messages. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. from such turn away. A form of godliness, but denying the power. So, friends, what we are seeing is that this young man had a form of godliness. He comes to Christ, asking Christ to do a special thing. But Christ is beginning to show him what is in his heart. And notice what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, Romans chapter 12, I beg your pardon, in verse 11. Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. This shows us what we are supposed to be doing at this given time. And if we have a business, if we are in an industry, we are not to separate ministry from our work. Because when Christ was in the carpenter's hall, prior to the initiation of his actual ministry, and though he had a ministry then, but it was not yet, the ministry was not a full-time ministry at the time. When Christ was working in a carpenter's hall, we are told that Christ was witnessing to those that were in that hall, and that there are times where the enemy would be working and there would be a spirit of depression, and Christ would start singing. And everyone in that carpenter hall would join him in singing. So Christ understood that business should not be separate from ministry. You see? And so in Romans chapter 12, verse 11, notice what the Bible says. If you don't believe that, here it is. In Romans 12 and verse 11, the Bible says in verse 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Do you see that? So those three things are combined. These things are not separate from one another, because in the original language, there is no comma in between. There is no spaces in between. But what the Bible is telling us is that we need to not be slothful in business. We need to be fervent in spirit at the same time serving the Lord. So our businesses should serve the Lord. Our businesses should serve the Lord. Our industries should serve the Lord. So these things should enlighten us to be able to understand that God desires to be in everything that we do. Are you following? So in Luke, the 10th chapter, this young man who probably had a business, probably had some sort of industry, right? He had enough, but he had some covetousness in his heart. And Jesus points out to him that the man's life, anyone's life, does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Paul says that there are some who suppose that gain is godliness. There are people in this world who believe that the more money they have, the more blessed they have. But in fact, that is the opposite of what the Bible teaches. All right? I want to show you this. And there is, again, nothing wrong with having money. But let's go to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. Because what the Bible shows is the danger of us serving the God of this world. Now, there are many who say they serve God, but they're serving the God of this world. They're serving money. This is why Christ, when elevated upon the pinnacle of the mountain and shown the kingdoms of this world and the riches thereof, Satan understood that Christ, if he had bowed down and worshiped him, if he had given Christ these things for the basis of him worshiping him, that he would have been lost. And Satan allures many of us today, does he not, my friends? Satan allures many of us today with the same temptations. And there are many Seventh-day Adventists. And there are many Seventh-day Adventists, my friends, who think that God does not mean what he says. When he says, you cannot serve two masters. There are many Seventh-day Adventists who actually believe that they can serve God and mammon at the same time. We must be at the point where Joshua reached, in Joshua 23, where he said, do what thou may, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 6, notice what the Bible says, because Jesus says to this young man, beware of covetousness. And by the way, our message title is Gain That Is Lost. Gain that is lost. What does it mean to gain something that is lost? In 1 Timothy chapter 6, the Bible tells us in the 6th chapter, and verse number 10. And I'm going to begin at verse 4 for the sake of context. Verse 3 for the sake of context. Can we have the reader read 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3 tonight? No, let's begin at verse 5. We'll begin at verse 5, and we will read all the way down to verse. We will read all the way down to verse 10.
Okay. Father in heaven, we come to you as we read your word. We ask you for wisdom. Help us, Lord, that we will understand clearly, and that we will be able to put it into fulfillment with your words. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Timothy 6, verse 5 to 11. Perverse disputing of men of corrupt mind, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we cannot carry nothing out. 8. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, withdrawn men in destruction and perdition. 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
Mm.
11.
Mercy. Thank you. No, that's it. Thank you there. We're good. Thank you. Verse 5 and begins with a rebuke. Timothy, remember, Timothy is a younger minister, and Paul is writing to him. Paul is admonishing Timothy and teaching Timothy that, look, the way of the ministry is the way to go. The way of serving the Lord is the way to go. And he is telling him, look, in verse 5, you know, perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds. Paul calls these men corrupt minds. What kind of men that he called corrupt minded? He said men who suppose that gain is godliness. Have you ever met people that way? Have you ever met folks who actually think that gain is godliness? In fact, there is a whole movement, prosperity gospel movement, that is built upon this idea that God is going to bless you with this. God is going to bless you with a car. God is going to bless you with a house. God is going to bless you with this. God is going to send you $1 million. These individuals are supposing that gain is godliness. So where Paul says, back in the early Christian church, for people who thought that way, withdraw yourself, remove yourself from them. And then he begins to define what godliness is, because he says, godliness with containment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we carry nothing out. Paul says, it is as certain that we shall carry nothing out of this world. In fact, the only thing that we can carry out of this world with us is our character. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. And then he begins to break down the issue with covetousness. He says, but they that will be rich shall fall into temptation and a snare. They that be rich shall fall into temptations and a snare. What is the snare that we shall fall with if we are allowing covetousness to rule our lives? What is this snare? Well, I believe Luke does a good job explaining what the snare is, right? Because this snare is actually found in this snare is actually found in missing out, listen to me carefully, and missing out on the second coming of Christ Jesus. This snare is missing out on the second coming of Christ Jesus. We know that Luke describes this scenario clearly. He shows that it is possible for us to have our hearts overcharged. Our hearts can be overcharged. With the cares of this life. And this is what Paul is describing here. Our hearts overcharge, and as a result, we can completely miss out the second coming of Christ. We are told this in Luke 21, Luke the 21st chapter. Look at what it says in Luke 21. The Bible reads, in Luke 21 and verse 34, the Bible says this. And take heed to ourselves. Take heed to who? Take heed to yourself. Now, you know why the Bible says take heed to yourself? Because self is the issue that we must contend with. It's not Satan. Satan has lost the battle already. Satan is not the issue anymore. The issue is with unconsecrated self. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness. And what's the next word? And cares of this life. Our hearts can be overcharged. We can be drunken with the cares of this life. And as a result, the Bible says, so that that day will come upon you unaware. That day will come upon you unaware. Why would the cares of this life cause us to miss out on heaven? Does that make sense, friends? Does it make sense that we would allow the cares of this life to cause us to miss out on the second coming of Christ? What good is it to gain the whole world and lose our soul? To miss out on heaven, to miss out on your mention of gold, to miss out on walking with Jesus, the man who gave up his life that you might be saved. Why would anybody want to gain the earth, the world, before Christ? For as a snare it shall come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Paul says in verse 9 of 1 Timothy chapter 6, but they that shall be rich shall fall into temptation and a snare. The snare is none other than those who are taken by surprise by the second coming of Christ. Those who are in the church, those who claim to be in the present truth, those who know the message. How are they caught by surprise? How are they caught in a snare? Because they have decided to serve the world instead of Christ. They have decided to serve the world instead of Christ. And as a result, friends, they miss out on the second coming because their eyes was not on Christ. Their eyes were distracted by the things of this world. They were distracted with business as usual. This is what the world is doing, friends. And why are we doing the same thing? I'll give you a quick testimony. There's a man, one of the pioneers of meat ministry. He was giving a testimony. And he said that he used to sell real estate back in the 1930s and 40s. He's a black man. And, you know, in those days, it was very difficult as a black man in America to make things happen for himself. But nevertheless, he said that he had, prior to his real estate career, this man said that he had been a coal porter, and he was not allowed to sell books to whites, because it was just not allowed at the time. So he decided he's going to move to Chicago and go into real estate. He moved to Chicago. He got his real estate license, and then he moved to California, San Diego, California. And he said his business took off. Listen to me carefully. His business took off. And he said back in the 1940s and 50s, he was making about $5,000 to $10,000 a week. Now, this is back in the 1940s. That's a lot of money. And he said that he was friends in California with Ronald Reagan. When Ronald Reagan was governor, he was such a successful Seventh-day Adventist businessman that he was invited to the White House around the 70s. I believe he said around 75-ish. around by Ronald Reagan, who was the governor of California at the time, and he was chosen as one of the four businessmen in California to go and represent California in a at this three-day conference where they would come together with other businessmen, the business-minded individuals, even the president and CEO of General Motors. And he said, and he was giving his testimony, and it's online through Meat Ministry, and this man said that as he sat there in this meeting with various individuals, about 80 individuals, at the White House, as a real estate individual who was very successful at the time, they asked him what he wanted to eat. And he said he'd like a plate of vegetables because he said he had never eaten animal products his whole life, still to this day. And so they were passing the food as he's sitting at the White House, and they were passing the food, and ultimately, you know, they were passing chicken fillet and all kind of stuff. And he said, "Where's my food?" And they said, "Well, your vegetable plate's coming." So when they finally got to him and they passed him his vegetable plate, he said he sat right next to the president and CEO of General Motors at the time. And he said, the president and CEO of General Motors says, "What are you eating?" And he said he'll never forget because at the time, back in the 70s, around that time period, brand-new cars always came out in September because all of the cars were primarily made in Detroit. So the cars came out in September. The new cars for the new year came out in September. And when the General Motor president at the time asked him, "What are you eating? Why are you eating this?" He asked the General Motor president, "Can I ask you why, or not what are you eating, but why are you eating this? Why are you eating? Why are you eating that? Why are you not eating the good stuff? Why are you eating the vegetables?" And he says, "Can I ask you a question? Why do you put the vehicle instruction manual in the glove department when you build it?" He said, "Well, that's easy because we need to tell people how to run our cars. It tells them what kind of oil they need. It tells them, you know, how to take care of it. It's the manufacturer book for the vehicle." And he said, the businessman, Seventh Adventist businessman, said he pulled out his Bible and he went to Genesis 1:29 and he points to General Motor president and he says, "Because this is the original diet that God prescribed for us. And since God is our creator and he knows what's best for us, he also gave us a manual on how we should eat and what we should eat. And it's in the Bible." He said the General Motor manager looked at him, shook his head and says, "We're atheists." Now he's sitting down in the White House for a three-day conference as one of the most successful businessmen in California at the time in the 1970s, at William Nixon's, Richard Nixon's, White House conference. The man said, "We are atheists." And the man said to him, he posed them a question that he said he never forgot. And that began to change his life afterwards. He said, the General Motor president says, "If your God is as big as you says, if your God is as good as you says he is, then why are you working part-time for other people?" At the time, he had been working for himself, you see. But he said he was kind of taken by what was said. But then the General Motor manager says, "You know, if I had paid one of my employees for their housing, for their vehicle, for their food, for everything. If I had taken care of one of my employees and taken care of all of their needs, as you said, your God takes care of all of your needs. If I had taken care of one of my employees, all of their needs, why would they need to go work part-time for Chrysler? You see, at the time, Chrysler was one of the competitors to General Motors. So he was using an analogy. The General Motors president says that to him. And he said he had a long ride home. And the General Motors says, what are you doing here? And he says, that was the longest ride he's ever had mentally in his mind. From Washington, D.C., back to San Diego, California, he's thinking in his mind mentally, you know what? He's got a point. What am I doing here? He said they talked about nothing about God for 3 days. God was never mentioned for 3 days. There was never a prayer in that assembly. It was all about business, enterprise, and how to get more and more money. He said the men asked him, if, as a General Motors president, I had paid my employee everything, I had given up everything for him or her, if I had given everything that I had for this employee, I'd put him in a place to stay, I'd given him a car, given him a pension, you say your God does all of this for you, then why are you working part-time for Chrysler? Which was, again, he wasn't working for Chrysler, but he was just using an analogy. The brother said, on his way home, has he thought about what was said? You know, sometimes God used the worldlings to rebuke us. He said he'd made a decision that the atheists can sell real estate, he says. He says, I was good at it. But I made a decision, if the atheists can sell real estate, the atheists can do this and that. But he said, you see, God had a calling. God had a calling on my life, he says. He says, and a job is not a calling. A calling is different from a job. A calling is when God has called you to do something for him. You know, everybody can have a job, but not everybody can have a calling. And he said he had made the decision right then and there. What he was doing was not what God would have him to do. All the money that he was making, it was not worth helping a soul to be pointed towards Christ. So he gave up his occupation. He went into full-time ministry. And he said the rest is history. Gone through prison ministries. He's given out millions upon millions. He said God has provided millions of dollars through their ministry to go into prisons, to buy books like Desire of Ages, to buy all these books. He said he would go to certain prisons. He said it started with one prison, then another prison, then over 70 different countries in the world, going to prisons and handing out to prisoners Bible studies. Handing out to prisoners, Desire of Ages. He said one day they had the Lord provided them with 2 million Desire of Ages that they had to put in the warehouse. And he watched the 2 million turn into 8 million, and he didn't have to spend a dime. He had a calling upon his life, and he was fooling around with something else. He was fooling around and doing something that the atheist can do. But God cannot use the atheist who is not surrendered to him. But when he has a calling upon your life, for you to inherit his kingdom, and yet we are wasting time trying to gain the things that are perishing. If you think about it, it just doesn't make sense to me anymore. If you think about it, it is a radical way of thinking to actually value the things of this world over what God wants to offer us, my friends. If you think about it, this is foolishness, and really what it is, it's a deception that we need to pray that the Lord would open our eyes to see how close are we to the brink of the second coming, and we are lethargically asleep. Christ is in the most holy place. There is a stupor that COVID-19 has brought in. Let me tell you, the spiritual lethargy is 100 times worse since COVID-19. And it's designed that way because now we actually are starting to get ease back in. We think things are getting better, right? In fact, we are closer than where we were a year ago. We are closer to the second coming, but we are further away from Christ. Did you hear what I say, my friend? Closer to the second coming, but yet relationship-wise, we are further away from Christ than we were a year ago. Whose work is this? An enemy has done that. An enemy has done that. And the Bible says that the enemy knows that his time is short. To me, that is the most folly way of thinking, to sell our inheritance as Esau. Esau sold his birthright. Are we willing to sell our birthright, my friends, for the things of this world? Or are we going to make a decision? We need to make a choice. We must come to a brink in the road. We must come to a place where we actually get up and, as Joshua, we make a choice. You know, Moses stood up. He said, look, who's on the Lord's side? Stand over here. Who is on the other side, stand over there. They had to make a choice. They could not be in the middle. It's coming to that point. In fact, we are at that moment now where we have to make a choice. We have to make the choice, my friends. And I cannot make the choice for you. Your parents cannot make the choice for you. Your wife cannot make the choice for you. Your husband cannot make the choice. Your children cannot make the choice. Everyone will have to make their own choice. You will have to come to the realization that what God has to offer is better than what this world has to offer, or what the world has to offer is better than what God has to offer. That is your choice. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, the Lord says regarding Abraham, I know him, for he will command his household after me. Are you, as the priest of your home, commanding your household after the Lord, or does your household see you caught up in the hustle and bustle, just like the neighbor who know not God? Can your household honestly say that this man is commending us after God, or can your household look and see that you are chasing the hustle and bustle? You are caught up in common enterprise, just like your next-door neighbor who knoweth not God. What is the difference between you and him? What is the difference? I read a quotation the other day where Ellen White says that God, we cannot serve God one day a week. Many of us are actually fooling ourselves, thinking that we're serving God one day a week. And from Sunday to Friday, we don't give a thought about how to win souls towards Christ. Friends, this is not Christianity. This is not religion. This is foolishness. And I'm reasoning with us because the Lord has really spoke to me this past week and really woke me up, and the things that I'm revealing to you, he revealed to me. He actually set me down and say, if you keep going this way, you will be lost. You need to make a choice between me or this life. You know, David says that he would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. You know what a doorkeeper is? A doorkeeper is not really accounted worthy. A doorkeeper is kind of like a porter in a hotel. You know, the person that comes and help you with your bags. And maybe you look at him and you give him a little tip. David says, it's better to be a doorkeeper in the work of God than to have the riches of many wicked. God has a calling upon our lives. Each and every one of us on this line has a calling, whether we ignore it or whether we choose to follow it, it's our choice. Remember that what the world can do, anyone else can do it. What do I mean by that? A job? Pharaoh can pick anyone else to do the job. What is it that is actually taking away your time from God? What is it? When was the last time you had a Bible study with a non-believer and told him about Christ? Do we actually think we will be saved in this condition, my friend? Because if that is the case, then we have not read the Bible one day. We have not understood what the Bible says. The whole mere idea of calling yourself a Christian. What did the Christians do in Christ's day? They went about telling people about Christ. The woman at the well. The moment she had an encounter with Christ, she ran to publish her encounter, to talk about the man that she had met that had told her everything that she did. This is the purpose of which we accept the gospel. It is not to hoard it. It is not to keep it to ourselves. It is not to keep it within the four walls of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, but it is to broadcast the third angel's message with a loud voice. Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. This message is to go out. And the Bible tells us that The harvest is white, but the laborers are few. Then it says, pray ye that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers. Are you willing to be a laborer for Christ? You know what's interesting is that he actually says, hired laborers. Ministry of Healing, chapter 41. Those who make the service of God supreme will find perplexities vanish in a place and a safe path before their feet. The service of God supreme will find their perplexities vanish in a safe path placed before their feet. That's the promise. Furthermore, promises continues that God has 1,000 ways to provide for his ministers, of which they know not. I had to tell myself these things. There's a calling on my life, and I'm lingering. Like the prodigal son, I'm eating of the pig's food when God is saying, look, I have a feast ready for you. And that's what I call the pig's food. If we are caught up in the things of this life, we are eating of the pig's food. God is saying, my son, my daughter, come back home. We're going to make an appeal tonight, a serious appeal. I have seen that time is almost finished. And there is a deception that the enemy has put in place in order to cause us to not be able to discern how quick we are to the second coming of Christ. And as a result, we are going about with business as usual. My appeal is simply this. And this is only for those who are serious. Do not make God another promise that you're going to break. Do not. My appeal is that you raise your hand and you close your eyes and you say to the Lord, Lord, I have heard the message. Lord, I realize I've been playing church. Lord, I realize that this is not just any appeal, but I am asking you to show me what my calling is and to help me to surrender all to you. Have you ever surrendered all to Jesus? I mean, like, just let go completely and say, Lord, I'm just giving it to you. Regardless of what my husband's going to say, regardless of what my wife's going to say, I am surrendering my all to you. I realize you have a calling on my life. I realize that I've been going in the opposite direction of that calling. I realize that I have not heeded your counsels. I realize that the enemy has been on my steps. I realize that I have been asleep in a stupor. I realize that I have not won souls to your kingdom. But I am asking that you change that tonight. I am asking that you prepare. And friends, there's going to be a battle. Don't think you're just going to get up and return back to God that easily. It's not going to happen. You must fight. You must agonize. You must pray. Not by might, nor by strength, but by his spirit, saith the Lord. Lord, I need a new beginning with you. Not only with you, but I need you to use me to lead other souls to Christ. Ellen White says, there's not one individual that's going to go to heaven without a star. Did Abby Wise shall shine as the stars of the full moon. Friends, Advent Light Ministry is going to re-kick our ministry again. We, to a great degree, have been asleep. We need to begin with our holy convocations again. We realize that time is short. And I know you've been hearing this for a long time. But, friends, even the economists are saying that 20, and I'm not putting dates here, even 20 economists are saying, based upon the studying of the history, every country that rises up, when they get to their peak, give or take 27 to 37 years, they crash. The United States reached its peak in 2000 under Bill Clinton. And right after that, what happened after 2000? 2001 began the decline of the United States of America. This country is unsustainable. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to see what is happening. This country is unsustainable. God is holding on to the four winds of strife. Oh, you know why he's holding? Until his servants are sealed in their foreheads. And many of us in the condition that we are today cannot receive the seal of God. We need to understand the science of receiving God's seal. If it is your desire, we need to go into a season of prayer. If the Spirit has touched your heart, if you say, God, I need a new beginning. You say, God, I need not just a new beginning for me, but I need to change my way of thinking. I need to change my covetousness attitude. I need to support your work. I need to utilize the funds that I have in order to advance your work. I need to beware of my covetousness. What we want to do, we need help. There's a calling on my life. I've been neglecting it. We want to train individuals. We want to open up a center of evangelism here. And we've already started it. People are coming into the store. We've had 5 individuals already signed up for classes on July 18th. In just a short time, people are coming in asking. Today, they came in from the Baptist church across the street, in the store, asking for Bible studies. They came into the store asking about health, asking how to lose weight. They came into the store asking how to clean their lungs. This guy came, two gentlemen walked in from the store from California, hippies, asking about how to cleanse his GI system. Having a Bible studies with them in the store, showing them the Bible from Genesis 1:29, showing them what the Lord says. A couple came together asking for consultations. These individuals are coming in, and this is what I've been saying, from the beginning, is that the way of evangelism is not by merely doing prophecy seminars. Evangelism must start by utilizing the right hand of the gospel. Ellen White says every church should be connected to a health food store. And these stores should be connected to evangelism. These stores should be connected to the evangelistic work of the gospel message of the third angel. We are going to launch again, and we understand it's not going to be easy. But by the grace of God, we will advance through prayer. We're going to pray. For those who have been convicted, we're going to pray. Because there's the only way that we can actually have the scales be removed from our eyes is on our knees. And we need to fast, my friends. We need to fast so we can hear the voice of God. Father, here we are before your presence, Lord. As the scripture says, dear Lord, stand ye in the ways and ask and see for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein. Jeremiah 6:16. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. Deuteronomy 32:7. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Isaiah 30:21. And if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. John 13:17. Father, we commit our spirit in your hands. We commit our life in your hands. You have called us to proclaim your message. You have called us to do your work, Lord. We lift up our broken hearts before you, Lord. We lift up pride before you, Lord. We lift up our lack of trust in which we are holding on, refusing to let go to serve you, Lord. You said to us, choose ye this day whom you will serve. Many of us are, many of us think that we're serving you, Lord, when we are not serving you at all. And I believe we've been convicted tonight that there's a calling upon our lives, Lord. I believe we've been convicted tonight that you are calling us to surrender. You are calling us to stop fighting. You are calling us to let go of the wheel and let you take control of it. Father said, remove not the ancient landmarks with thy fathers I've set. Some of us are suffering because of the sins of our fathers. Some of us have seen our parents teach us principles that some were good principles, but some were principles that rob us of faith. We have learned to provide for ourselves. We have not learned that you provide for us. We have not learned that heaven rejoiceth over one sinner, that one soul is worth more than all the gold and all the diamonds that this world has to offer. And if we understood the value of a soul, we would be willing to go to the ends of the earth just to share with someone about Christ. Oh, Lord, we ask for forgiveness of our iniquities, of our sins. Be with us tonight. Cleanse us and pour out your Spirit upon us. And help us, Lord, to not allow this message to go out the other ear, but may it convict us. May this message trouble our spirit. May we receive peace only when we surrender to you and say, Lord, here I am. Send me. This is what we ask and pray for in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Brother Yudi. You finished? You finished prayer, Brother Yudi? Brother Yudi, you finished prayer or your part?
Yes, I'm a, yes.
Okay. Brothers and sisters, we just want to thank you today, tonight, for thank God for the message that was presented for each one of us. And we all listen and hear the calling that God is calling us to be mindful that His coming is nearer than we think, and that we have to prepare our heart, our soul, our mind to do the work that God wants us to do. And this calling, brothers and sisters, if you are willing to answer to the call, as the Lord said in His song, I surrender all, if we are willing to surrender all to God and to do His will, I'm asking you all to take yourself off star 6, and you can press 1 if you would like a special prayer, want to pray, and the calling for you to speak to Brother Yudi in the requests that he has asked for. So I'm asking my brothers and sisters, if you want to hear, as this song said, and I will just sing a little voice. We know it's over a little time, but brothers and sisters, this is the time that we need to come to the Lord and also to be organized so that we will be able to do His will. We have known, we have been seeing that each person is in different areas and they are doing their own evangelism. And the evangelism really is really to draw people to Christ. Right, so the story is there as we have listened and heard what happened, what took place. This is the starting point, and we know God is able to do all things. As He said in His word, if we ask of Him, He will grant it unto us, everything we ask and believe. So this little verse here, let us ask the Lord so that we can surrender all to Him, give Him all, He will be able to use us. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. I surrender all. I surrender all. Savior, I surrender. Last verse. All to Jesus, I surrender. Now I feel the secret flame. Oh, the joy of salvation. Glory, glory to his name. I surrender, I surrender all. I surrender, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Kind and loving, righteous Father, which art in heaven, we, your children, come before you this moment to give you thanks and praise for the blessings of the night with the message, Lord, the command that you have given unto us in your word, Lord, that we are supposed to be doing your will, Father. You have warned us, Lord. You have given the testimony and the praise, Lord, that we have seen. You have told, but Paul have told Timothy to stay away from those who wanted not to preach the gospel, dear Father, but to do other things. And Paul had also, dear Father, in 1 Timothy 6:5, told us, Lord, of some principles that we should follow. And these principles, we are asking our brothers and sisters to go back to study the scripture, them that our dear brother have given unto us, 1 Timothy 6:3, and we have these principles, what God wants us to do. Lord, he also told us about the root of money, what it is, and riches. And we have listened it all tonight, dear Lord. So we just want to thank you and praise you for what you are going to be doing through your people, Lord. We present the health store again, Brother Judith, and the work that have been doing over there, dear Lord. We ask you to send laborers, Lord, so that the vineyard will be well ready, dear Father, when it arrives, that I would to be a harvest, that we will have laborers, dear Father, to do your work. Father, we just want to thank you. Bless, keep, guide, and protect each one of us here on this land, and allow us, Lord, that we can share, Lord, the riches that God have given unto us, Lord, because the riches, God is crying out for soul, Lord. Not riches of gold and silver, but riches for precious souls to the kingdom who are dying out there. And God, you and he have given us a message to present. So help us, Lord, that we will be faithful. Lord, as we surrender all to you tonight, we ask you to use us mightily, and that we will be able, Lord, to answer to the command, Lord Jesus. Thank you again, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Yes, my dear brothers and sisters, we just want to thank you again for joining us, and we are going to close. I haven't seen anybody respond, so we are going to close with let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. So I actually off of this, I will close. I've actually come, my team freeze. So good night, brothers and sisters. My team freeze. I can't even play a song. Everything is gone, right? We will see each other tomorrow. Let the words of our mouth again and the and all right. Thank you, my dear brothers and sisters, for joining us. Yeah.